at this time, does brings you the Goldbergs. We will interrupt the program to bring you any late news developments. As Molly, folks, that means your friends the Goldbergs are here, brought to you by Does. The Goldbergs. Well, now there's one bit of truth that Molly can no longer avoid admitting. For with her own eyes, she saw that Captain Burkhoff knew Emily Selwyn. In fact, after Emily's train arrived in Lastonbury, it was Captain Burkhoff who introduced Molly to her own future daughter-in-law. All in all, it certainly would have been better if Sammy had been there, but as things turned out, Emily was here and Sammy was on his way to New York to meet her. So, the first to meet Emily was Captain Burkhoff. And in the light of three broken engagements in the captain's past, Molly, rightly or wrongly, doesn't feel any too good about his knowing Emily, especially since he seems to know her very well. Right now, the Goldbergs and Emily Selwyn and Captain Burkhoff are leaving the station. The train that brought Emily has come and gone. Listen.
You have the check for your trunk, Emily?
Yes, Miss Goldberg. I gave it to Rosalie.
Oh, Rosalie, you have it?
Well, Captain Burkhoff took it.
Oh, Captain Burkhoff took it, so go and see, dear.
Go and see, Rosalie.
Go with Rosie, David.
You want me to go with Rosalie, Molly?
Yes, David.
I'm going.
Speak to Emily's trunk so she should have the trunk so she should be able to change the trunk, dear. Go.
You were surprised to see Captain Burkhoff when you got off the train, Emily?
Yes. Go, darling. Rosalie, darling, as the gentleman, the one that takes care of the baggage in the baggage room, if you'll please, a special favor, to please bring the trunk tonight, because Emily has to change herself. Yes, dear? Please, if you will.
Miss Goldberg, I want you to know that...
You're tired, Emily, darling, you're tired. There's so much time to talk. We have so much time to talk. Plenty of time. This isn't a moment for small things. This is a big hysterical moment, Emily. The church bells are ringing. Everybody's going to church. There's so much to pray for now, Emily.
Yes. I'm sorry my furlough came when it did. I shouldn't be here now at this moment. I always thought when the time came I'd be in it. Ted, I find myself in this peaceful village.
Peaceful village? Not so peaceful, Emily. Even though you're here, Emily, you're in it like we're all in it. See that house over there? See,
yes.
That's right. That yellow house.
Mm-hmm.
See that house?
Yes.
Her son, my friend, her son is a, what do they call that boy that jumped from the plane?
Paratrooper.
Paratrooper. Her son is a paratrooper. See how her chickens are running around in the yard? She didn't even put them in the hen house yet. Her husband told me she didn't move away from the radio to take a cup of coffee, not even. Oh, Emily, how every village and every town and every city, this side of the ocean and the other side, is not peaceful. Not peaceful, darling. Not until peace comes. My butcher also has got two boys. And my friend, Mr. Willoughby, has also got one boy. And he's got a son-in-law. And the post office man, he's also got a son and a son-in-law. Everybody in the whole village, I'll walk with you, I'll show you. Everybody in the whole village. Now, Emily, now we all have to clinch our teeth and we wouldn't ask when. For when depends on us and on our wonderful boys over there. And in a little while, our happiness will be gone. That's what they're winning, Emily. Just happiness. Just plain happiness. Soon, soon you'll know again what the land is for, what the fields and what the meadows are for. For apple trees to get ripe, for pear trees to get ripe, it's for wheat to get ripe to make bread. That's what fields are for. Soon everybody in the world will know it, Emily, darling. It's for labor and it's for love. It's not for soldiers' boots. And it's not for machine guns, Mommy. No, no. Well, Rosalie?
Yes, it'll be all right.
You got it already?
Yes, the truck will be at the house tonight, Emily.
Oh, thank you. Well, we walk this way, Captain Draco. Which way do you walk?
You don't mind if I walk along with you and steal Emily from you for a little while, do you?
Poppy. That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'll just stop off at my grocery for a moment anyway. I have to speak to my dear friend, the grocery lady. See, I was just feeling, and I have to make an order. I'll stop off at my grocery. You walk. I'll go, dear. Go, dear. Go, dear.
Mally.
I don't want to talk.
Why not? My Uncle David was right.
Walk. They don't have to hear what we're talking.
Was I right?
Right, wrong, wrong, right. Why is everybody so glad when they're right? When it would be better if they were wrong.
Don't run, Molly. I'm older than you.
I have to go to the grocery.
Molly, be happy. You saw with your own eyes.
What did I see, David?
Rosalie, did you tell your mother what she saw?
They know each other, Ma.
So what, Rosalie? So what? How many people do I know and how many people do you know?
Well, there's knowing and knowing, Molly. I didn't took my eyes off Captain Berkoff's face. Rosalie, you are younger than your mama. Tell her what you saw, please.
All right, Uncle David.
Did you ever see Captain Berkoff ever look at Dora with such eyes, Molly? And he's engaged to be married to Dora. Molly, chop my head off.
I don't want to chop your head off.
Look how Captain Berkoff and Emily are walking. Look. Look how slow they're walking.
They're not walking slow. They're walking fast.
Molly, keep your eyes open. And that's all I'm saying.
My eyes are open. There's more to see, David, than the things you want to see and the things you think you see.
All right, Molly. From this moment forward, I'm silent. Rosalie, you heard what I said? I'm silent. Like the grave, I'm silent.
Graves are not silent, David. The dead speak louder than the living.
Not to me. So maybe I should die and then you'll hear me?
Excuse me, I'm going into my grocery.
You're excused. We should wait for you or we shouldn't wait for you.
Wait for me.
All right, so we'll wait.
Uncle David, I wish you wouldn't say anything.
You too, Rosalie. You too.
Well, you know how Mama feels, Uncle David. She doesn't want to prejudice her mind against Emily because Emily knows Captain Berkoff.
Who am I thinking of? Emily or Captain Berkoff? Or am I thinking of Sammy? Not even of Dora, am I thinking. Only Sam.
But Uncle David.
Yes, Uncle David. How many times was Captain Berkoff engaged?
You said 3 times.
What do you mean, I said? I said it out of my imagination, or I said it out
do
of...
Do you think that Emily is one of the girls that Captain Berkoff was engaged to?
And you don't think?
But Uncle David, even if she was...
She was also married before.
Well...
If I thought Sammy really loved Emily, I would also say, well, but Sammy loves me. All right, you tell me, Rosalie. I'm silent. You tell me.
How can I tell you?
All right, Rosalie. All right. From today forward, I'm changing your name. From today onwards, you're Molly number 2. Molly Junior the 2nd.
Here come Captain Berkoff and Emily, Uncle David. How he is.
All right, so I'm going to the grocery. They wouldn't hear me.
Emily?
Yes, Mrs. Goldberg is in the grocery store.
Oh, well, I'll wait for her.
Why don't we walk up a little way, Emily?
Yes, walk. Mrs. Goldberg will be quite all right.
We'll walk slowly, Emily, and we'll catch up to you.
Will you come with us, Rosie?
Well, Lance, I'll wait for my mother, Emily.
Yes, Mom.
The bad start for me, Paul, with Sammy's family. I don't know what they must be thinking.
Well, why don't you tell them?
I intend to.
What will you tell them?
The truth.
You never knew the truth.
I think I did.
Emily, I was sorry to hear about George. It was a shock. We three were wonderful friends when we were interning together until he took you away from me.
It was your mother. It was only afterwards, George.
Emily.
George and I were married. And we had two wonderful years together. Then when the war came, we joined up together. We were in it from the first, and though from then on we were far apart, except for a short furlough, we were really together more closely than ever before. What I did, I knew George was doing. And when he was lost, I also felt as though I had been lost with him. But soon I looked around at the boys I was nursing, the boys going into battle. And slowly I began to see that George hadn't been lost. He was in all these youngsters. And we were still together in life, in the fight. And we would see it through together till freedom was all around the world.
And so you found George, even in Sammy.
Paul.
That's true, though, isn't it? If I'd been there, Emily...
The accident of meeting you here isn't going to make the slightest difference in my life, Paul. Or in my plans.
It is in mine.
Well, Captain Berkoff seemed quite definite about that. From the way he said it, one would think that he had an entire new plan of action for himself, all mapped out. Only a short while after meeting Emily. Be sure to listen to the next episode of The Goldbergs, written for you by Gertrude Berg and brought to you by the makers of Dove. Emily learns another part of Captain Berkoff's history he didn't bother to tell her. This is Clayton Collier speaking.
CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.